100% black owned and operated.
They said it couldn't be done.
We did it anyway.
The hottest independent network in the world.
Kaboom!
You want prizes? We've got free prizes. You want cash? We've got lots of cash. Simply download Bashani Radio app. Allow push notifications and listen for your chance to win loads of cash. Please don't tell our CEO it's his money we're giving away. We won't tell if you won't tell. Bashani Radio app. Download it for free in the App Store.
Welcome to From Pain to Purpose Podcast with your host, Dr. Ava Eagle Brown, on Bashani Radio in New York City. Always talking about everything? Recycle your pain to live your best life. Listen on the Bashani app and syndicated worldwide on every platform where podcasts are played. Sponsored by TheMangoGirl.com with skincare products that will have you glow from head to toe. Go to TheMangoGirl.com.
This is Dr. Ava Eagle Brown with Pain to Purpose, live on Bashani Radio, coming to you all the way from New York City, where we're always talking about everything. Today, I want to just reflect a little bit on some of the things we discussed in the last episode. And it was a very, very emotional episode for me. I remember as I was recording it, there was so much tears in my eyes and it was emotional. It was hurtful. But when I reflected on it after the recording, I realized how healing it was. And so this week, I want to continue along that journey, because this podcast is really helping people to release that pain and really understand where the pain came to help you, but also how it came to shape your purpose. Today, I'm going to be talking about a topic that's very tabooed in the Black community, but I think it's taboo globally. I mean, I live in the UK and there are some communities that don't want to talk about it. And that is the elephant in the room. That elephant of sexual abuse. Now, before I jumped on here today, I actually thought, let me just find a bit of data. And I wanted to keep it really, really simple. And the statistics show that 1 in 20 children in the UK have been sexually abused or assaulted. Now, 1 in 20 is one too many. And so I'm going to take you back to my own childhood in Jamaica. I mean, growing up, I never had anybody who actually spoke to me about sex or, anything around that whole topic. I think I was about 11 years old or 10, and I remember it was summer and I was home at my stepmother's house. And we were just sliding down the veranda. Caribbean verandas have these little arches. You slide it down like a slide in a theme park. And I remember my skirt just became bloody and I screamed and I said, oh my God, somebody cut me. I just thought somebody had cut me, like genuinely. That's how naive I was. And nobody had spoken to me about periods. And I actually was having my period for the first time. And that was the first time I understood anything around that. And I remember even after that happened, nobody kind of sat you down and had the conversation that, you know, even the birds and the bees would make sense. There was no conversation. It was just nothing to be discussed. You were taught how to use the sanitary towels and you got on your merry way. And I remember my stepmother would literally sit there and you're having your period, you're having a tummy ache, and you were just stuck sometimes. And I had questions. I wanted to understand what was going on. And I went to school. I was in high school soon after, and they had guidance counseling classes, which is, you know, like a nurse in the school that taught you about these things. And that was where I kind of started learning. And I remember living in the house with my father, and I went through the whole thing the other day, and I explained to you guys how when he touched me, I ran away. But I did not realize until I was much older how sexual abuse is a big thing within various communities. And the biggest thing that really gets me, and I want to share this today, I want to talk about it, I want you to think about it, and I know some of this is repetitive, but it's important. I think it's a very important topic, is the fact that sexual abuse is happening in many households at the moment with children. And in most cases, it is with people that they know. It is with people that they know. It is people that we trust our children with. It is people that we are not even thinking have that tendency, people who we would not even suspect. And so I remember, and I remember writing my book, The Mango Girl, and I remember my uncle's best friend. I was a little girl. I was about 15 years old living with my uncle. So you may remember in one of the episodes I talk about, you know, living with my uncle. And when I lived with my uncle, he had a friend. And it was my uncle's best friend, as far as I knew it. Or as a child, that's what I thought. And I remember that man took me into the cane fields in Jamaica. I was 15 years old. And it really frustrates me even today as I'm recording this on the 10th of November, 2020. I cannot remember how far he went. You see, sometimes the brain protects you. It protects you from pain. And it was this year, Father's Day. I remember I've tussled with, do I tell my uncle? Do I not tell my uncle? How do I tell him? And I remember this Father's Day this year, I actually said to him, so uncle, so-and-so, is so-and-so still alive? And he said, yes. And I said, oh, he should be dead. And I know that sounds harsh. I know. And as a matter of fact, when I went back to that conversation, I felt like I was being that child. So when I said he should, I felt like I was being a 15-year-old girl saying this man should die. And my uncle said, why would you say that? And I had the very uncomfortable situation of telling my uncle for the first time this year at 44 years old that your friend took me to the bushes. Your friend. You remember what I said earlier? People are abused by people. Most times children are abused by people they know and trust. People come into your homes. People pick up your children from school. People you trust to leave your children with. Now, I'm not advocating or saying that everybody who you do that with is a predator. Not at all. Not saying that at all. I'm just saying that most cases, children are abused by people they know. And so I said to my uncle, because he did this, and my uncle was shocked. I mean, I remember my uncle called me so many times that week. He's like, he kept calling me. And we were on the phone, and it's like the phone went dead the moment I told him that, because I can't imagine my poor uncle. And this is one of the reasons that people don't discuss it. This is one of the reasons, having been a victim myself, that you don't tell people who you love, that people who they love and trust has abused you because of the reaction and the disappointment and the hurt that they feel. And I remember sitting down after I told my uncle, and I wondered, did I do the right thing? And I said, you know what? Absolutely, yes. Because how many other little girls he may have abused, but how does my uncle hold him in a particular esteem when he really is a predator? How many people around us might be predators like that, male and female alike? Because often people think that sexual abuse is only by men. Women are just as guilty, right? It's just probably not talked about enough. And I remember sitting there thinking, well, do you know what? That's something off my plate. And I literally was glad. A weight was lifted off my shoulders because, yes, my uncle was upset, and it wasn't my intentionality to upset him, but I needed to tell him. And I felt free. I felt really, really free because those predators must be stopped. But I remember writing my book, and I remember sitting down with my editor, and I remember not being able to recall how far he went. And as I go through life, I realize the scars that sexual abuse has left on me. It was my father. It was my stepbrother. It was my step-uncle. And it was my uncle's friend. That's a lot of abuse. But we all talk about sexual abuse outside of relationships. And there's so much abuse, sexual abuse that happens in relationships. Now, when you're in a relationship and your partner says no, it really does mean no. And I remember writing a book, and so I'm here to say that even in my marriage, I was abused. I remember waking up one morning, and all the evidence was there that I had been involved, but I don't remember it. I wasn't drunk. And it kept happening for a while. And I kept wondering, how does this happen? And I remember saying to my then husband, you know, one morning when I woke up and I saw it, I was like, this doesn't make sense. This cannot be happening like this. I mean, are there ghosts that are coming to visit me in the night? Because, you know. And I remember one Sunday morning, we're going to go to church. And I was in the bathroom getting dressed. And I remember asking him. And I made sure I fixed my tone. Because I learned by now that with him, if my tone was wrong, I wasn't going to get anything. So I asked him with my tone, very nice, loving, careful. You know, did you? And he said, yes. And I said, how long has this been going on? And he said, about 6 months. I said, 6 months. And I wanted to touch the roof. And I was frustrated. So I remember going to the doctors privately, secretly, actually, trying to understand how could this be going on for 6 months and I never had a clue. Not once. Not once did I have a clue that in my sleep this was happening. To the point where in one of my books, I have a poetry book that I wrote from my journal. And in the book, I said, how could you? I did a poem about it. I did a thing about it. How could you violate me in my sleep? And I remember going to the GP and saying to the doctors, you know, was I drugged? Because I can't understand how I am awake. I'm sorry. How could this happen? Because when it happens in the natural, when you're consensual, you understand what's going on. But I'm waking up with all the remnants of this, but I'm not involved and I don't recall. And the doctor said, you know, she didn't think I was drugged. She just think I was in such a deep sleep. That's abuse. That is abuse. When you're not consensual, whether you're married or not, or engaged or in a relationship, that is abuse. And I think that violated me. It actually violated me. It made me, I felt violated. And so when I tried to address that, I got a good cussing out. I'm telling you, I was cussed out. You belong to me. And I get that. But when I'm cognizant, when I'm aware, when I'm not almost dead to the world, for me, it was like abusing a person in a morgue. That's how I feel. Like it was like I was in a morgue and I was a dead corpse and you're abusing me. And so I wanted to talk about abuse from the perspective that we often think that is just when it is to children or when it's rape outside of a relationship. But you can be raped in a relationship. You can be abused sexually in your own relationship. And I know that there are certain cultures that would just ignore, throw away, laugh, scoff at that. But if it's not consensual, it's not okay. So what I want us to teach our children, and for those who are listening around us, I want you to understand consent. I try to teach my son, who's only 9, the fact that when somebody says no, and I try to teach him that in general terms, because it's so important that we literally fuse these things in very early, in our boys, in our girls, that no means no, that there are certain boundaries that we don't cross, that relationships are... A relationship doesn't give us the license to do as we please with people when they're unconscious and when they're not consenting. And I think there's a big scar that is left from sexual abuse. I'm the kind of girl who can stay single for 6 years. Is that normal? I don't know. I'm not the kind of girl who craves a relationship. I love it. I think it's great. But I can actually see the impact of what having been sexually abused so much has done to me. I want to tell you some more, but we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to come back. So I'm back, right? And I'm wondering how many of you thought about that during the advert break. Did you actually think about it? Could you think of anybody who you know? But more importantly, were you abused? Because I realize that a lot of us have been abused, but we don't talk about it. I have a friend who was a client initially, and it was not until we're writing her book. She was in her late 50s, and we were writing her book. And in her book, she said she was sexually abused, but did not know, because it happened when she was a child. And it was when she was given birth in her 20s that the same pain she felt trying to have that baby dragged her back to her childhood. She was a little girl. And that was when she realized what had happened to her. There are so many of us walking around with mental health issues. I've got post-traumatic stress disorder, but can you imagine how somebody like me would have that? Like, of all that I've been through, I mean, sometimes I actually ask myself if I'm actually normal, like genuinely. I ask myself, am I normal? Am I functioning right? I do ask myself that question. Let me say something to you guys. I'm one of the most honest person about myself. I ask myself, am I normal? Am I normal? Because I don't know, you know? Am I normal? Because some of the things that are happening to me or have happened to me, you know, I just can't fathom. But then I do know. I have a faith. I found God on the path. But abuse can damage you. It hurts you. It leaves scars in a way that are sometimes so painful. It damages your self-esteem. It damages your confidence. It damages your self-imagery. And it impacts your relationships. It impacts how you feel about relationships. I remember, this is why I don't like new relationships. This is why I try not to, you know, I've been single now for 6 years. I mean, okay, I dated once in between there, but I've been single for a long time. And one of the things that I hate more than anything else is, and this is an honest podcast, I hate undressing in front of new people. Because it's almost like every time I have to do that, I feel like I'm going through all of those motions. And I'm better now than I was before, but I had body image issues. And there are times when you feel violated still, especially if your partner doesn't seem to understand your story. I think it's so important that when you're abused, when you have been abused, that the person you're with understands your story. Because when they understand your story, they're going to know how to treat you and how to handle you. I have to be handled well. And this is why, I don't know, I just ask God to make sure that he sends the right person, because in the wrong hands, people like myself can break. And I'm a strong girl. I mean, you guys, you know, for those who know me, who are listening, and those who are probably getting to know me, I'm a very tough girl, trust me. But everything is like, you can't put, you know, cashmere in the wrong hands of somebody who doesn't know to laundry properly. You can't put, you know, china or porcelain, in the wrong hands. You can't put, you know, a baby in the wrong hands, eggs in the wrong hands. So what I'm trying to say is everything has to be in the right hands. And that's me. I have to be in the right hands. But I want to say to you that you have to learn to take the power away from your abuse. You have to be able to recognize that it's happened to you. It doesn't define you. You have to realize that it makes you a very overprotective parent. So I have to talk about that, because I had to learn. My daughter started teaching me that I had to learn to let go a bit. You have to learn to not be so overprotective with your children, because you know, the whole thing about, you know, what you think about, where your focus, where your energy goes and your focus goes, then you would build that into reality. So I went through a whole phase of being scared for my children, like really scared. Like, oh my God. And I remember my daughter used to sit in one of her father's friend's lap. And I was like, don't sit in any uncle's lap. Like, genuinely don't. Like, I don't believe that kids should sit in the laps of anybody. Because abuse is not just strangers who come into your house. It's sometimes people who live within your house, as you have seen in my own case. And so I have this big thing about to my daughter, don't sit in anybody. As she grew up on that, do not sit in the lap of anyone. I was very adamant about that because I had this fear for a long time that people who came around the house were all predators. Not everybody is a predator. And so you have to learn to build that trust, and you have to learn to be vigilant, but you have to be trusting as well. If I look at my life right now and I look at the pain and see how it's been purposeful, I think that, yes, I've been through the abuse. And people say to me all the time when I've been interviewed, if you had to do your life over, what would you want to change? I would love to change the abuse. I'm going to be honest with you. Like, I would have loved to. Of all the things I've been through in my life, that's the part that I'd love to change. Because there were moments it made me feel very dirty, like dirty, filthy, dirty, unworthy. Yeah, it did. But now I'm on this journey where I'm using it. Here am I talking about it. Somebody might listen to this and through my preamble might pick up something and think, you know what? I'm no longer going to suffer in silence. And I'm really all for not suffering in silence, because I believe that these things leave issues in our tissues, and these issues fester into cancers and all kinds of illnesses. So I really believe that when we have these situations, we need to find ways and avenues and medium of releasing them. Because I believe that these things, if we continue to harbor them, they affect us because we're carrying them in our bodies, and our bodies are vessels. So if nothing else, my preamble on this particular episode, I'm hoping that you learn a couple of things. Number one, protect your children, be vigilant, but also talk to them, explain to them, you know, let them understand their bodies, let them understand the world as much as they can, you know, age appropriate, of course. Educate them. You know, I live in a very different world, trust me, a very different world where things that we didn't know in our generation, these ones know within the moment they're out of the womb, they know it. Talk to your children. Teach them how to be safe. Teach them to have this open door policy where they can come to you, because I didn't go to anybody. I didn't feel safe talking to anybody. I told my uncle this year. It happened many years ago. I told my mom when I was in my 30s because I did not feel safe to tell her. I told my stepfather before I told my mom. So my stepfather knew years before my mother. I trusted him more. And I know that it's relationships with moms are difficult, because I'm a mom and I have one. I have a daughter. And I think daughter-mom relationships can be challenging. Some of them can be very challenging. I think they're right about daughter-father, but I think they need to write about daughter, you know, mother-daughter as well. There's a challenge here. But create that open door policy where you can talk to your children. Forgive yourself. Like, genuinely, forgive yourself for what has happened to you, because you can either be sinking with it or you can either be swimming. And I choose to swim. And there are days when I'm wobbly. Can we just be honest? Let the church say amen. There are days when I'm wobbly. There are some days when it's wobbly. Some days it's not, you know, some days are not as good as others. And you just have to be okay with that. And you have to know that, you know, it's okay not to be okay. I have a 2-day rule. That I'm done for 2 days, and day number three, I'm up. And some of the ways you can forgive yourself, some people might be thinking, but how do you forgive yourself? You really sit down and understand that, you know what, it wasn't my fault. I didn't do anything wrong. And if you have, accept your part in it. Because sometimes the reason we can't move on is the lack of, the inability to accept our responsibility in something. When my marriage broke up, I accepted my responsibility. I accepted what I did wrong. This was where I fell short. Accept where you went wrong, if you have. Make peace with it. Write a forgiveness letter to yourself. I'm all for that. Write a forgiveness letter to your friend. And in the diary, that the journal that I've put together for this podcast, one of the chapters, one of the months in the year, we talk about forgiveness. You know, really seriously, forgiveness. Self-forgiveness is important. Forgive that inner child. I go into that, into the journal. Forgiving your inner child, because sometimes the reason we are so messed up as adults is because we have not dealt with the stuff from the childhood, the stuff in our inner child, the stuff that we carry around every day and the remnants. Think about when you make a cake and you have that cake in the batter in the bowl. If you don't wash it out with water, no matter how you scrape it with a spatula into the cake tin, there's always a remnant. That's exactly what happens with the stuff that we carry around from our past, or abuse, whether it's sexual, you know, domestic violence, whatever it is. All of those things, we carry them around. So we need to learn to let go and release them as much as we can. Because it's so important that we release them to, A, make new space in our life for goodness to come in, amazingness to come in, and understand that we can choose to stand on our story and use it to empower others like I'm doing now, or we can allow our stories to drag us down. I could have been a prostitute. I could have been a drug dealer. I could have been a thief. The only time I ever stole in my life was when I was in high school and I was hungry, and I went to the home economics department and I stole food because I was hungry. But I could have been so many other things. I made a choice. So you have to make choices. Yes, life happens. These things happened. Life is happening. Things around you are going to shake you. But you have to decide to not sink. So if you've gone through sexual abuse, domestic abuse, any kind of financial abuse, oh my God, mental abuse, emotional abuse from just that whole abusive situation with somebody else involved, domestic violence, relationally you've been abused, I want you to understand that the first thing I want you to do is to reach out to their organizations that can help you. If anything in this podcast has impacted you, whether you can reach out to us or find, you know, there are various organizations in your country, different countries vary. I know in the UK we have Women's Aid and Victim Support and all those kind of things. The other thing I want to say, which is very important, is that if you have been abused and you have enough, and you know it's true, because there are some people who talk about it and it's not true. If you've been abused and you know that it is true, historic cases are being unearthed every day. Every day they're taking on historic cases and people can be brought to justice. So just please remember that. I want to say to you as I wrap this up, I want to ask you to get your journals out and literally go to the section that deals with abuse. And go in there and literally list the people. Find the people, make a list of all the people who abused you in your life, or all the people that you know were abused. There's some of us who know people who were abused and we zipped our lips. It is time to speak. Don't go to your grave with this. You could be the bridge. You could be that bridge that helps somebody out of their mental health situation, helps somebody who was innocently convicted for something. You could be that bridge that helps somebody to just be healed and be held whole, because there are some people who are told that it's a lie, but you know, there are people who know that it's true. Come forth and vindicate that person. Sometimes all people need is to be vindicated. So make a list of all the persons in your life who've abused you sexually, relationally, financially. It doesn't matter. You can list and fill in the spaces. Get that journal out and do the activity, but write them down. Write their names down. And in the journal, I invite you to not just write their names down. I invite you to take action. I invite you to either write a letter to one of them, make a phone call to one of them, or try to, with sense and safety, meet up with one of them. You decide which one you want to do. It might be easier to write a letter, a forgiveness letter. Forgive them, release them. We need to let go of our pain in order to move on. Because carrying around that pain is not going to serve you. Like I said before, pain is temporary. It may last for a moment or a lifetime, and that's totally up to you. So I really want you to understand that the one thing that I want you to take away from this, if nothing else, is that sexual abuse is real. It happens to many people around the world, and it really normally happens to somebody you know and trust and love sometimes. And if it does happen to you, or you know somebody who it's happened to, tell them. You listen to a girl called Dr. Ava Eagle Brown, who's been abused by so many, and she's still standing. She's still standing, and she's talking about it. And she is proof that anything is possible if you make a choice, if you decide. So until next week, I really hope that was powerful for you. I invite you to go over to Amazon and get the journal that goes with this podcast. But until next time, I want to thank you for listening to Pain to Purpose on Bashani Radio Network, of course, a show that focused on how people recycle their pain and start living their best life. That's what we do here. We're focused on how to recycle your pain and start living your best life. Until next week, it's Dr. Ava Eagle Brown on Bashani Radio Network with Pain to Purpose. And I'll see you real soon.
Welcome to From Pain to Purpose podcast with your host, Dr. Ava Eagle Brown on Bashani Radio in New York City. Always talking about everything. Recycle your pain to live your best life. Listen on the Bashani app and syndicated worldwide on every platform where podcasts are played. Sponsored by themangogirl.com with skincare products that will have you glow from head to toe. Go to themangogirl.com.
One hundred percent black owned and operated. They said it couldn't be done.
We did it anyway.
The hottest independent network in the world.
Kaboom!
You want prizes? We've got free prizes. You want cash? We've got lots of cash. Simply download Bashani Radio app, allow push notifications, and listen for your chance to win loads of cash. Please don't tell our CEO it's his money we're giving away. We won't tell if you won't tell. Bashani Radio app. Download it for free in the App Store.